Hey everyone, thank you so much for taking time to listen to this week's sermon. It's our hope that this resource will grow you in your faith, hope, and love for Jesus. Please help us get the word out by following us on social media and sharing resources just like this. And if today's message has compelled you to take a next step in faith, please let us know by commenting on this post, sending us a personal message, or contacting us at the church office. Praying and believing that God will change you in a powerful way through His word. Blessings.
I'm speaking today from the words of Jesus in the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 7, beginning with verse 24. I was preaching last Sunday morning from the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7, and today we're looking at Matthew chapter 7, beginning with verse 24. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. But it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and it beat against that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Now, being that today is a day that we've set aside to celebrate the 125th anniversary of this church, I'll be making a few comments in this message as they relate to the past and also the future of this church. But as we look carefully at this all-important story that Jesus gives to us at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, I want to begin with two experiences that I had within a two-year period, and how those experiences relate to this story and made this story all the more real and relevant in my life. Both of these experiences happened shortly after Jamie and I graduated from Asbury College and we moved to Houston as newlyweds. There you go. I wrote the Q on there for you. We were 22. That was taken right at that point in time. 22. And now you know what life and storms in life can do to a person. But we moved to the big concrete city of Houston so that Jamie could attend nursing school at the University of Texas at Houston. And so I needed a job. I had responsibility now. I had a wife to take care of. I needed a job, and I needed one quickly. And so right after we moved, the next weekend, we went to a home Bible study that Jamie's parents were hosting in their home. And there was an elderly man there that had retired. He knew what my situation was. And so after the Bible study, we went into my mother-in-law's kitchen there. And she had stationery. She always had stationery out there, pens and envelopes and pads. She was a writer. And so he pulled me aside. We went into the kitchen. He took one of those pads and a pen, and he started writing some things out on the paper. He put it in an envelope, and then he wrote a man's name. on the outside of the envelope. And he handed it to me. He said, take this down to the Harris County Flood Control on Main Street, right off of Loop 610. And that's what I did Monday morning. I went in to the Harris County Flood Control office, and the receptionist was there. I gave her the letter. She went through some doors, and just a few moments, an older, bald-headed guy came out. And I say older because when you're 22, everyone looks old to you. You know, he probably wasn't a day over 50. But he came out, and he introduced himself, and I introduced myself, and he said, so you know Vic? And Vic was the man who gave me the letter. And I said, yes, Vic's a great, great Christian man. And so we went through the doors. We went back in his office. We weren't in there 10 or 15 minutes when he hired me right on the spot to do a job that I didn't deserve and I wasn't qualified for. They hired me to be a construction inspector of all things. Here I was with a Bible degree. And now I'm suddenly a construction inspector. But they trained me on how to do the job. And so it was my job to make sure that the blueprints and the specs were being followed, that the right materials were being used. And we did bridges and low flow sections, a lot of concrete, a lot of work like that. And I don't have time this morning to tell you all of the things that I learned in that 2-year period from people and from construction work and the spiritual lessons and illustrations that I drew from that experience. But I am telling you this part because this is what I learned after 2 years of doing that job. There is nothing more important than the foundation work at the beginning. That's the most important thing. And I would use a transit and I would find the benchmark because that was the point of reference from which everything else was built. If you didn't get the foundation right, then nothing else really was going to be right after that. And so we see in this parable that Jesus is giving us that there are foolish people everywhere who think they can build without a foundation or with any foundation. And Jesus tells us that there's only the right foundation and the wrong foundation. And so the other experience that I had during that period of time also relates to this idea of the foundation. While I was learning these things in construction, I went home one evening, I turned on the local news, and they had a story about some homeowners who were having terrible problems with the new house that they had. And they showed the house from a distance, and it was a big, beautiful, expensive house. And then they went on the inside, and there's where the problem was. There were cracks, all kinds of cracks in the walls, and room after room, there were cracks. And so they discovered this, that those cracks, no matter how many times the owners tried to repair the cracks and to patch the cracks in the paint, those cracks kept coming back. And so they discovered that those cracks were only the symptom of a much deeper problem. That house was built probably where it shouldn't have been built. And because it was built on unstable ground, unstable foundation that was shifting, the house was shifting and became unstable and unsuitable to live in. And so I shared this with you this morning because you don't have to look too far in this life to see cracks everywhere. There are cracks in individual lives. There are cracks in families, cracks in schools, cracks in government, cracks in churches. And then we use all these resources, time, money, programming, support systems, all these things trying to fill and repair the cracks when the problem is the foundation. Are you with me? So, I want to share 3 points with you today. I'm going to give you these points right now and then we're going to go over them. Point number 1, everyone is building a house. And I'm going to define the biblical meaning of the word house. And when I do that, you're going to see that everyone is building a house. Number two, everyone will go through a storm. Number three, everyone is on one of two foundations. And so the question on the table today, as I give you this message that God has placed on my heart, the question is, which one am I on? Which foundation is my family on? Which one is my church on? You could even say, which one is my country on? So here's point number one. Everyone is building a house. The Bible speaks of a house in at least four ways that I could find. Four ways. Number one, the Bible speaks of a house as a life. Your life is a house. Did you know that? 2 Corinthians 5:1 refers to our physical bodies as our earthly house. You are living in your earthly house, your vessel of clay that God has given you, your body. That's your house for a brief period of time in this life. The Bible speaks of a house in terms of a family. We talk about the house of David. I could insert your name in there to refer to your family, your household. The Bible speaks of a house in terms of a church. In the Old Testament, the temple was the house of God. The church today is the house of God. We sometimes call this a house of prayer. We are God's people. And the Bible says we as living stones are being built up into a spiritual house. Galatians 6:10 says that we are the household of faith. And then the Bible speaks of a house as in terms of a nation, the house of Israel, the house of Judah. We have the White House, the House of Congress. The Bible speaks to governments and to nations. This is why I say this morning that everyone is building a house. Everyone is building on one of two foundations, such as the story that Jesus tells us about these two men who went out to build a house. And the houses that they built, they represented their lives, their dreams, their vision, their future. And when we look at the story, there are some comparisons of similarity with one stark contrast that leads to a riveting and sobering conclusion of finality. This was an awesome story that Jesus told, one that the people could relate to. When Jesus finished telling this story, the Bible says that the people were amazed. Right after he told that story, the people were astonished. They were amazed at his teaching. Jesus took the theology of the Sermon on the Mount and he brought it down to earth in a story. But I was, this week as I was doing this message, and I started thinking about another situation in the Gospel according to John chapter 6 where Jesus was teaching, saying some hard things, and all the big crowd that was following him, they left him because of what he was saying. And so Jesus turned to his inner circle and he said, "Are you also going to leave?" And Simon Peter said, "Lord, where are we going to go? To whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." So I ask you today, listen, where are you going to go in these days? If not Jesus, then who? If not Jesus, then what? What is the alternative? I want to tell you why I follow Jesus. I follow Jesus, and I try to build my life upon Him. Because no one ever spoke like He spoke. No one ever lived like He lived. No one ever died like He died. No one ever rose up like Him. And no one is coming back like Him. Those are just a few of the reasons why I follow him today. Both of these men in the story, they heard, listen to this, they heard the greatest story from the greatest preacher. You couldn't hear a better sermon from a better preacher. And both of them built houses that, as far as we know, they could have used the same materials and built the same kind of house. We don't know. But what we do know is that they had a dream. They had a desire to build a house that was going to be secure, a place where they could live. And today, we don't want lives and families and churches and nations that collapse in failure. We want to build. We want to dwell in a house that's secure and not divided. And so, I point out what the difference was for them and what the difference is for us. Folks, don't miss this today. The difference is not informational. They both heard. The wise man, the foolish man, they both heard. The difference was in activity. The difference was in who they were and what they did. One was wise, one was foolish. One acted wisely, one acted foolishly. One built wisely, the other built foolishly. Everyone hears who hears, Jesus said. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them is wise. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them is foolish. The Bible says, be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourself. Now, I want you to watch this. Please don't miss this. I wrote this. Look at this. Wisdom. When I look at the Bible, I'm starting to think, what is wisdom? Wisdom is the decision to actively apply the spiritual truth of God's word to the realities of life. That's, in other words, information is not wisdom until it is applied in your life in obedience to what God says in the decisions that you make in life. I want you to notice something very important here. Jesus didn't tell us what this wise man knew. He didn't talk about what the wise man knew. He told us what the wise man did. This is what separates the wise from the foolish. The wise man, we're told over when Luke tells the story in Luke chapter 6, he tells us a little bit more. He says that this man dug deep. The wise man dug deep until he hit rock. He dug deep until he was sure he was on the right foundation. He was digging day after day with a shovel while his neighbor was over there. Had his house already framed up, ready to move in. But the wise man kept digging until he hit rock. The foolish man was not careful at the starting point, at the point of foundation. And so when the storm came, his house was built on the sand and it all came down. Have you ever stood in sand? I mean, okay, you're at the beach and you're standing there barefoot on the beach and all you have to do is really stand there and you can feel it shifting on your feet. But if you just twist a little bit, the sand comes up through your toes and over your feet. Very unstable. And people everywhere are walking in sand, building on a sand foundation. And then we wonder why people and why society are so unstable. A sandy foundation is profession without possession. That's what the Bible teaches. Right before the telling of this parable, we find in Luke 6:46, Jesus said, "Why do you call me Lord and don't do what I say?" Now look at that. Why do you call me Lord and don't do what I say? Calling Jesus Lord and not doing what he says. You know what that is? That's what we call practical atheism. A churchgoer comes to church and says, yes, I believe in God. I believe the Bible. But then if you go out and you live like there is no God and there is no Bible, then that is practical atheism. And Jesus said, why do you call me Lord and do not do what I say? Even the demons believe and tremble. Okay, so here's the thing. First Baptist Church of St. Mary's. What will the future be? The future of First Baptist depends on the right foundation. The foundation is hearing and doing the Word of God. Hearing Jesus and doing what He says. You know, this thing with modern technology, it's really amazing. You know, now they have all these motion sensors where we had some, but they didn't work that well. But I'm sure there's some that work really good. But with these motion sensors, now you can, to save energy, you can walk into a room and it senses motion. And the lights come on. When someone leaves, it senses that motion and the lights go off. And so the power is always there. The power of the lighting, it's always there. But it's programmed to come on when there's activity, when there's movement. And I'll tell you today, the same thing is true with God's power and God's truth. That there is power and there is light and God's Word. But the power is only going to be manifested. The power is only going to be there. The light's only going to come on when we act in obedience to God. God responds to action. He responds to obedience. I read Deuteronomy 28 again this week. And if you want to read a chapter that's relevant to this day and age, read all the way through Deuteronomy chapter 28. Because there, you know, you find God says it all the way through the Bible. You find this over and over again, all the way through Old Testament, New Testament. God tells His people, if you do this, then I'm going to do this. And in Deuteronomy 28, if you diligently obey the Lord your God, if you do these things, then these blessings will come upon you and overtake you. But if you don't do them, then there's a curse, just the opposite of the blessing. Moses had that rod in his hand. But when he responded in obedience and stretched out that rod toward the Red Sea, that's when the waters parted. Jesus called Peter to come and walk on water. The miracle happened when Peter, in obedience to the voice of Jesus, he put his foot over the side of that boat, and when the sole of his foot hit that water, that's when the miracle happened. Jesus told him to take away the stone where Lazarus, the tomb where Lazarus was. When they did that in obedience, when they removed that stone, then Lazarus came walking out. Folks, listen. It's not hearing the Word that keeps the Word from working. I'll tell you what it is. It's the absence of acting on it that keeps it from working in building a house, in building a life, in building a family, in building a church, in building a nation. It's acting on the Word of God that's going to do it. So I'm saying today, look, I'm not going to change, okay? What I'm saying is we have to start with what God says. Why don't we do that? Start with what God says. What does God say constitutes a church, a marriage, a family? What does God say a man is? What does God say a woman is? You know, I believe this. There are only two answers to every question in life. There's what God says, and there's what everyone else says. I'm going to stay with what God says. How many of you eat health food? What kind of question is that? You know, an apple is supposed to be an excellent source of healthy nutrition. An apple. An apple a day, what? Keeps a doctor away. But here's the thing. If you take that apple and you take a little stick and you run it through that apple and you dip it down into some sugary, warm candy substance like caramel or something, you just canceled out any health benefit there. What do we see today? What do we see among Christians and churches alike? They receive the pure nutrition of God's word, but then they want to dip it. They want to dip it into cultural relativism. And they want to dip it into popular opinion. And dip it into what others think. Dip it into feeling. Dip it into human wisdom. And the end result, here's what happens. This is what has happened. When we do that, then the truth that is heard is canceled out and it has no effect in the practical realities of life. And therefore, everything that's done from that point on is built on the wrong foundation. No wonder things collapse. So I'm saying this. Moving forward as a church. You say, Pastor Mark, how long are you going to be here at First Baptist Church? As long as I'm alive. No, not that. Who knows? I will say this. Only God knows that answer. But I will say this. I've never left the church in debt. And we still have some debt. Now, I hesitate to say that because someone might say, I'm going to give a big hunk of money to hasten the process. Let's get him out of there. Moving forward as a church, we need to understand this. Look at this. If the Lord does not build the house, the work of the builders is useless. You know, I think the past is very interesting, the past of this church, like any church, but tradition isn't going to cut it, is it, today? We need to move forward into what God has for us. For God has already placed Jesus Christ as the one and only foundation, and no other foundation can be laid. Everyone is building a house. That's point number one. Now I'm coming to point number two. This is a long, long message. I'm going to be a lot briefer on these last two points. Here's the second point. Everyone will go through a storm. The 18 people that started First Baptist Church, they went through a literal storm. They had rainstorms, snowstorms. Many of the first meetings had to be canceled. But here's the thing. They persevered through literal and spiritual storms. They laid a foundation of Jesus and His Word. And here, 125 years later, we're here and the church is moving. We're trying to move forward in God's kingdom. There have been storms all through the 125 years. And I would like to tell you today that if you just come to Jesus and trust in Him, that it won't rain in your life. But the Bible says it rains on the just and the unjust. Jesus said, in this world, you will have what? Trouble, tribulation. There will be storms. You ever get mail coming to your house and it says, current residents, resident. You know, whoever sent you that mail, they don't know who you are. They don't know who's in your house. But you're getting that mail anyway, no matter what. And if you're a current resident in this world, which we are, if you're alive and kicking in this earth, the storm is going to come no matter what. I was looking, as I was preparing this message, I was looking at Nehemiah. Nehemiah is a really interesting book. And in Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 18, Nehemiah and the people, they said, "Let us rise up and build." That's the proclamation they made. Let us rise up and build. Do you know what the very next verse is about? As soon as they said that, that's when the opposition came. That's when the resistance came. Sanballat and Tobiah, their enemies, were there to talk it all down. You know, there will always be, when you try to move forward as a church, there's always going to be someone that's going to try to talk it down. Speak negative. The 10 spies did that. You know, they just gave a negative report, try to hinder the church from moving forward. As we move forward into the future, storms and opposition may come. But I want to let you in on a little secret here today. I want to share some good news. The gates of hell shall not prevail against the church that's founded on the rock. And the rains descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall because it was founded on the rock. I want to tell you today, folks, you can mark it down. The life and the church that's built on the rock is built to last. It will last. That's got to be our foundation. The storm that these two men went through, they went through the same storm. And it sounds to me like a hurricane. I was down in Texas 6 years ago when Hurricane Harvey hit. And my first grandchild was born right in the midst of that terrible storm. And I'll tell you what, like this story here. When the rain comes down and the floods come up and the wind's blowing, you pretty much have a hurricane. And today, I want to tell you right now, we are in hurricane season in this world. We're in hurricane season in the United States of America. We're getting hit by all, from all directions. But here's the thing. You know why God allows a storm into your life? We sang about God's goodness. That's part of His goodness, allowing a storm to come into your life, because He wants to be sure you're on the right foundation. The storm is what revealed the foundation. You didn't know until the storm came. The storm's what revealed the foundation. And God allows storms to come and it reveals the foundation. And the storms our country's been going through, it's revealed a lot of foundations. It's revealed that a lot of people were standing on the wrong foundation. That brings me to the last point that I want to make. Everyone is on one of two foundations. This storm came and it revealed that there were just two foundations. There isn't a third alternative. There isn't a third foundation. There's only the right foundation and the wrong foundation. Jesus made that clear, and He also made it clear that there are only two roads, there are only two paths, there are only two ways in life. Look at this as I draw to a close here in a moment. Look, enter by the narrow gate. You can't make up your own rules. You talk to people out there in the world, they're trying to make up their own. I'm going to have my own Jesus. I'm going to make up my own rules. Jesus said, enter by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. One translation said, the road that leads to hell is easy. And many are on it. But Jesus said, narrow is the gate and difficult is the way that leads to life. And there are few who find it. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew,
and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. A really tragic event happened on July 17, 1981. 314 people were standing on a sky bridge at the Hyatt Regency Hotel in Kansas City, Missouri. And they all thought that they were standing on a firm foundation. When suddenly the bridge collapsed into utter destruction and devastation, killing or injuring everyone who was standing on. And folks, listen to me. A storm's coming. I'm just telling you right now. I don't know when the final storm's going to come, but a final storm is going to come. And all foundations outside of the living and written word will collapse. Everything's going to be revealed by fire, and only that which is done in Jesus Christ is going to survive. And Jesus, the living Word, Jesus, the Word made flesh, the rock foundation, He said this, look at this, heaven and earth will pass away. What's going to stand? What's going to last? My words will never pass away. Are you standing today on the Word? Are you building today on the rock? Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. How firm a foundation, you saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in His excellent Word. What more can He say than to you He has said, to you who for refuge to Jesus have fled.
Thank you so much for taking time to listen to this week's sermon. It's our hope that this resource will grow you in your faith, hope, and love for Jesus. Please help us get the word out by following us on social media and sharing resources just like this. And if today's message has compelled you to take a next step in faith, please let us know by commenting on this post, sending us a direct message, or contacting us at the church office. We are praying and believing that God will change you in a powerful way this week through His Word. Blessings.